السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Sunday morning it is the Shafi'i Fiqh program that you are listening to on Radio Islam with Qari Saleh and Ustaz of Dar al-Ulum Zakaria. We discuss the Shafi'i Fiqh every Sunday morning, and of course the questions, the answers, and the SMS questions and the answers that are going to be given to that from Qari's website are only for the followers of the Shafi'i Madhab. For any other questions, we do have various other programs during the course of the week where you can send your questions. So it is a Shafi'i Fiqh program. The SMS line 082-368-6866. Qari's, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Because we're discussing already lesson number 28, alhamdulillah, and we are speaking about the rulings of salah with jama'ah. What is the hukam or the ruling of salah with jama'ah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Salatul jama'ah, the salah performed in congregation, this is termed as fard kifaya by the ulama of the madhab. Fard kifaya meaning it is a communal obligation, an obligation that if a few people of the community fulfills and carries out this responsibility, the entire community would be saved from the collective sin, which would have been the case if nobody fulfilled this obligation, on which is the responsibility of the entire community. So it is fard al-kifaya, it is a communal obligation that they have to be individuals of the community that get together at a particular point to observe this injunction of Islam. It is fard kifaya on all those males that are non-travelers, they are not musafir, and the salah wal jama'ah will be the fard kifaya for the five obligatory prescribed ada salah, the salah that we perform on its times, other than the salah of qada. There are particular rulings with regards to salah performed in congregation if it is qada. That is also permissible. But at this point in time, we are discussing the salah in congregation, which should be performed by males that are non-travelers, they are not musafir, and for the five current prescribed salawat. This salah in congregation has to be performed in such a way that it is in a public place. And the ulama have also elaborated on this, that in small towns it would be sufficient for people to get together in any convenient place for them to perform their salah with congregation in jama'ah. In a city or in big towns, the salah must be held in such public places that would be able to manifest the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. So it should be held in such a place which would be visible to the rest of the community that these people are gathering in order to perform the salah in congregation to establish the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama further mention that the salah with jama'ah, the obligation of the salah, which we said is fard kifaya, it remains unfulfilled if in a city or a big town people do not perform their salah in such a place which is visible to others, such as a masjid or a musalla which has been allocated for salawat congregation, or any public place which could display the symbol of Islam. That means the entire city of people would be breaking or being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to this obligation if they are performing salah in their homes, even if it be in congregation. So in big cities and big towns, there should be and there must be those places in which the salah wal jama'ah in congregation is performed visibly, so that this obligation and injunction of Islam is manifest to the rest of the community. The ulama have mentioned that the most emphasized salah wal jama'ah is salatul fajr, then thereafter salatul isha and salatul asr, as these salawat on their particular times, they do require an extra effort, and it requires a person to sometimes go out of his way to perform the salah with congregation. This is why there is an extra thawab and extra reward for people who exert themselves, particularly in these salawat and generally for all the salawat. The ulama further mentioned that it is best for men to perform their salah of congregation in a masjid or a place similar to it which has been allocated and fixed for the congregational salah. And for women, it is recommended that they perform their salah at home. Yes, it is permissible. We are in no way saying that it is not permissible for the women folk to perform salah in the masjid. But in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a sahabiya by the name of Asma bint Yazid radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to her attending the congregational salah behind the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not prohibit her or forbid her from coming to the masjid, but encouraged her and told her the virtue of her performing salah in the private corners of her home, which is highly recommended, and this is the desired temperament of Islam with regards to congregational salah for women. So it is permissible for them. If there is an arrangement for women to perform salah, there is a separate facility and the entrances and exits are separate, then there would be no problem if they are going to the masjid, on condition, as the fuqaha of the Shafi'i madhab have mentioned, it should not be women that adorn themselves, they apply perfume, and the outward impression given by their coming to the masjid is to attract attention. This is contrary to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sahabiyat and the women during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they had to come to the congregational salah, they would cover themselves in such a way that the shapes of their bodies would not be exposed, and they would merely cover, they would cover the entire body from head to toe and merely leave the space for one eye in order for them to see the direction in which they are heading. So that teaches us that if women come to the masjid, they should ensure that they are not applying all this fancy perfumes and adorning themselves in such a way which could cause fitna in that place which is sacred, and it is the object of which is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to perform salah and make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the citation of Quran. So this should be kept in mind, that the virtue of performing salah in one's house for a woman, this has been established in hadith. It is not something which the ulama of today have fabricated, but this is something which has been highly recommended even during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Okay, can say jazakumullah for that. 082-368-6866 is the SMS line. Karisab, discussing the importance, the ruling of salah with jama'ah, naturally the question that would come to one's mind is, what sort of virtues are there for those that perform their salah with jama'ah?
Because this is such a noble act, it has been recommended and encouraged so often in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and neglecting it has been so severely reproached and reprimanded by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is easily understood by any person of a normal mindset that how important the salah of jama'ah in congregation has been encouraged and emphasized by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the fuqaha and the jurists of Islam. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, صلاة الجماعة أفضل من صلاة الفذ ب27 درجة. The salah performed in congregation is 27 times more rewarding than that salah performed individually. So this itself tells, and obviously if a person goes out of his way to perform the salah in the big masjid of his locality, or a person happens to go to al-Masjid al-Haram or the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Masjid al-Aqsa, the reward increases many, many fold. But generally in our own communities, if a person performs salah with congregation, then the reward is multiplied at least 27 times more than the reward received by a person performing salah individually. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has highlighted the reward and the status of those people who go to the masjid during the dark hours of the night, whether it be for Isha or Salatul Fajr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَشِّرِ الْمَشَّائِينَ فِي الظُّلَمِ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ بِالنُّورِ التَّامِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أو كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, that give glad tidings to those people who walk in the darkness of the night towards the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give them the glad tidings of a perfect nur on the day of Qiyamah. That day when each person would require a nur in order for him to enter into Jannah, to cross over the bridge of Sirat, those who are mu'mineen will be blessed with a nur, the munafiqeen and kuffar will be deprived of this nur. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith gives the glad tidings of a perfect nur, which is also a glad tidings that inshaAllah people who are firm on their salah with jama'ah, Allah will give them tawfiq to die with iman, because only those with iman would be blessed with nur on the day of Qiyamah. Then further on we find many warnings given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for an individual or a person giving up performing salah with jama'ah unnecessarily without a valid excuse. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in a hadith, "Al-jafa'u kullu al-jafa' wal-kufru wal-nifaq, man sami'a munadiya Allah yunadi ila salah fala yujibuhu." Aw kama qala an-nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Very stern words in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned the meaning of the hadith is that these are true signs of hard-heartedness, true signs of a person being harsh, that, and it is also signs of disobedience of Allah, being ungrateful to Allah. It is signs of a sign of hypocrisy for a person to hear the muadzin calling out the call to salah, the call towards the obedience of Allah, and then he does not respond. Responding, the fuqaha say, is of two types. One is the response which has been mentioned in hadith, to repeat the words of the muadzin. قُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, repeat the words, say what he is saying when he says Allahu Akbar, then repeat these words till the end of the words of the adhan. This is one type of ijaba and response to the muadzin. The second type is even more important, that is called ijaba bil aqdam, for a person to respond physically by standing up and making preparations to go and join the salawat congregation. And lastly, I will just conclude with one other hadith. There are many, many hadith, inshallah, if we try to establish ta'aleem in our homes and read the virtues of a'mal, inshallah, we will then be accustomed and well acquainted with these ahadith, and our children and family members would also then understand the importance of these a'mal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that, "I so wish to command some of the youngsters of Medina that they gather some bundles of wood, and then I personally would want to go to the homes of those people who do not have a valid excuse and they are performing the salah in their homes. I personally feel like going to their homes and burning their homes down." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, who had compassion in his heart and he had concern for the well-being of each and every human being coming till the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so disturbed by people who do not have a valid excuse to not to join the salah wal jama'ah, and he is prepared even to summon the youngsters to assist him to burn down their homes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, especially the men, to perform our salah in congregation with regularity, inshallah.
Inshallah, jazakumullah for that. 082-368-6866 is your SMS line. Now, of course, those were some of the virtues for performing salah with jama'ah. And then on the other hand, many a times we have various excuses. Karisab, what would be a valid Islamic excuse for one not performing salah with jama'ah?
Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the most beautiful deen, the deen of Islam, in which we have moderation in all the ahkam. It is not so forceful and harsh that there is no dispensation or leeway for a person who has a valid excuse in any amal. With regards to the salah with jama'ah, there are valid excuses explained by the jurists and the fuqaha for a person not having to perform or join the salah with congregation. Amongst these valid excuses, one would be, as the ulama explained, the difficulty a person has in reaching the salah of jama'ah due to heavy rain or due to heavy snowfall or weather conditions which would affect him directly. So if it is heavy rain and between him and the place of jama'ah there isn't sufficient shelter through which he could travel and reach the masjid without getting soaking wet, then this would be a valid excuse. Keeping in mind that the fuqaha and the ulama have mentioned these conditions in environments in which there were not the facilities and conveniences which we possess. So if a person does have the convenience of a vehicle, he does have a car, or between him and the masjid there is sufficient shelter which he could use, and he has the asbab and the means to use an umbrella or something which would protect him from being soaked, then this would not be a valid excuse. Just merely seeing a few drops of rain, saying that my clothes would become wet, and the fuqaha have mentioned this as a valid excuse, this would not be sufficient. And many times in these masail, as we are taught by the ulama, istafti qalbak, you need to ask the mufti of your heart, ask your heart if this is a valid excuse, that we have all the means if we needed bread or milk at home and we were asked to go to the shop in the rain, then we would not say that, you know, this is it's too difficult for me, my clothing would be soaked. But we would use and adopt the means which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made available for us. So even more important than getting bread and food for our families would be getting the ruhani and spiritual nourishment of performing our salah in congregation, which exhibits the grandeur of Islam and manifests the greatness of this symbol of deen. Amongst some of the other valid excuses which the ulama have mentioned is if between the person and the place of salawat jama'ah there is heavy mud, and he knows that if he's going to walk in that direction his clothes will be soiled, or he might slip in the mud, or it is severe heat or cold, and it is basically not possible or very difficult for the person to move during the severe heat or cold, then this would be understandable. Now, alhamdulillah, in our country, Allah has blessed us with weather of moderate nature. It doesn't get too extreme, so we do not experience maybe temperatures passing 40 degrees or going into the high 50s, or even cold temperatures which drop to the minuses of 15 and 20, as is witnessed in many other countries of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us moderate weather, so therefore this would not really apply to us that it is extreme heat or extreme cold, which would be a sufficient enough excuse not to attend salah wa jama'ah. We have the asbab as well, the heaters, the warm clothing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made available for us. And many times when you travel to other countries of the world where you see how people go out of their way to perform salah wa jama'ah, people travel many, many kilometers and miles just in order for them to perform salah wa jama'ah in extreme conditions, then this makes us even appreciate the fact that Allah has made everything so convenient for us. And if we experience a little bit of difficult weather, then this would not be a sufficient reason for us to omit the salah wa jama'ah if we look at the sacrifices made by other people in various parts of the world. The ulama have also mentioned that a valid excuse for a person not joining the salah wa jama'ah immediately is a person experiencing hunger or severe thirst, and now the presence of food is in front of him and he has a severe yearning to partake of that meal or to drink of what is in front of him. For this person it is preferable that he should eat a little and then go to join the salah wa jama'ah, as the great scholars of Islam have mentioned, لَأَنْ أَجَعَلَ طَعَامِي صَلَاةً أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَجَعَلَ صَلَاتِي طَعَامًا. I would prefer making my food salah rather than making my salah food, which means I would prefer indulging in my meal with my mind preoccupied with the performance of salah rather than performing salah with my mind engrossed and busy thinking about the types of food that I wish to indulge in after the salah. So it is important that if a person has, we're not talking about a person who just merely wants to satisfy his desire to eat, but a person who really has a need and he is hungry, that person should partake a bit of the meal in order to satisfy or to extinguish the pangs of hunger, and thereafter perform salah with ease. As one of the pious ulama was traveling with his student, and his student said to him, "Oh teacher, let us perform salah quickly and then we can eat nicely." So his ustad said to him, "No, let us eat quickly so we can perform our salah nicely." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the respite. Yes, we can partake in order for us to perform our salah with ease and with concentration. Another person who should also delay joining the salah with jama'ah, who has a valid excuse not to join the salah in congregation immediately, is a person who has an urge to relieve himself. Whatever it might be, if a person has an urge, then it is necessary for him firstly to relieve himself and thereafter join the salah with jama'ah. Even if the fear is missing salah with jama'ah, because it is inappropriate for a person to be standing in the congregation and he is uncomfortable, he is now uncomfortable with the recitation of the imam. If the imam decides to recite a surah which is sunnah and the surah perhaps is a bit long, he will be uncomfortable and he would be perhaps making dua in his heart that the imam goes into ruku'. When the imam is in ruku', he is making dua that the imam is going to sajda. So his entire salah would be with the thought of having to go to the toilet to relieve himself. Therefore, a person who has an urge should first relieve himself, even if there is the fear of missing the salah with congregation. Another valid excuse the ulama say is if somebody is taking care of a sick person, and that sick person would suffer harm of some sort if the one taking care of him happens to go for salah with congregation. So there is a person taking care of a family member, and if he now leaves this sick individual and goes to the salah with jama'ah, there is a chance that this person would suffer some harm or might be in danger, then this person is allowed not to attend the salah with congregation.
Okay, Kansab, Zakumullah for that. Let's take some of the SMS questions that we have over the weekend. 082-368-6866 is the SMS line. The email address, stmall@radioislamlive.com. Kansab, the first question that came through is, can women in the Shafi'i madhab wear imitation jewelry?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The wearing of imitation jewelry is a commonly posed question. The position of this particular mas'ala in the madhab, which has been explained by Imam Nawawi in his works Al-Majmu', he's expressed his opinion and the ruling with regards to the wearing of this type of jewelry, meaning jewelry that is not made of gold or silver. So he has stated that the use of jewelry made of metals other than gold and silver is permissible. There are certain opinions which say it is offensive or inappropriate, but generally the view of Imam Nawawi has lots of weight in the madhab, so there is a permissibility for a person to wear imitation jewelry. However, we should keep in mind that the method of adorning ourselves should not be one imitating the ways of the kuffar, which is clearly prohibited in hadith. So one is the permissibility of wearing imitation jewelry, and one is the impermissibility of one adorning oneself in such a way that we resemble the Yahud and Nasara.
Jazakumullah for that, Kari Sahib. Going on to the next question, moving into the SMS world. Question states, does divorce by SMS take place?
Before I answer this question, I think it is appropriate for me to say that if this question has been motivated by a personal incident, then I request the person posing the question to refer the entire details of this case to the reliable ulama of your community, whether they be the Shafi'i or if it is the Hanafi ulama, and pose this question to reliable and responsible muftis of your community with the details of the entire event. If somebody merely is posing a question and wants me to give an answer here for their own convenience, not that it is happening, but it is possible that somebody just wants to hear some answer which is convenient for their particular case, then this is inappropriate. Any dispute, any case which needs arbitration or mediation or needs to be heard and listened to by ulama, that should be presented in writing. And similarly with masail pertaining to inheritance, if a person just poses a question, the one answering the question is not aware of all the details of that particular incident. So therefore, I'm going to answer the question as it is mentioned in general, not answering a particular case if it is the motivating factor behind the question posed. So in the Shafi'i madhab, talaq by SMS, as the ulama say, it follows the same rules of talaq written on any other medium. And the hukum of that type of talaq, it is termed as kinaya. There are two types of talaq. One is a clear, explicit talaq when a man says the word talaq to his wife. And you have the second type of talaq, which is called kinaya. The kinaya form of talaq is, it is an elusive word to effect to let the talaq or divorce take effect. It is an elusive words which are used to take for talaq to take place. Sometimes it is words which have ambiguity in their meaning. So such a talaq which is of the form of kinaya, which is elusive words to effect a divorce, such a talaq, its validity depends on whether it is accompanied with the intention of talaq or not. So the talaq of kinaya, because sometimes there is ambiguity in its meaning or there is a possibility of something else, this talaq via SMS, the Shafi'i ulama have mentioned that it falls under kinaya. Therefore, the person who has sent the SMS will be approached and asked whether he intended talaq or not at the time of sending the SMS, which is the normal ruling pertaining to talaq bil kinaya. that talaq which is given in this elusive way, the person would be questioned and asked if talaq was intended, it would be valid, talaq would take effect, and if not, it would not take effect.
Okay, jazakumullah for that. Just a reminder to the listeners, of course, the questions and the answers that are given are for the Shafi'i madhab only. Therefore, those followers of other madhab, the Hanafi madhab and other madhab, please refer to the Hanafi ulama or to those respective ulama for your questions and answers. We do also have during the course of the week those Q&As for various other madhabs. 0823686866 is the SMS line. Karisab, the next question, probably slightly delayed, but nonetheless we'll pose the question. It states, can one give qurbani meat to non-Muslims?
The view which is held by the senior Shafi'i ulama of the madhab, the likes of Ibn Hajar al-Haythami in his works, Tuhfatul Muhtaj, I would maybe just relate his words and then elaborate on the particular question. He says, يوجه بأن القصد منها أي من الأضحية إرفاق المسلمين بأكلها فلم يجوز لهم تمكين غيرهم منها. That the meaning of this is that Ibn Hajar al-Haytami in his writing says that the object of Udhiyya and Qurbani is to show compassion to Muslims by them joining you in partaking of the meal and eating of its meat. So therefore it would not be permissible to share this gift of compassion to the Muslimin with Ghayrul Muslimin, with those who are not. However, there are some of the Shafi'i scholars who do not see much strength in this line of argument. Many of the Shafi'i ulama say that in the ayat of the Quran in which the verses of Qurbani and Udhiyya are mentioned, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَطْعِمُ الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرِ, then those people who are poor and who are in dire need should be fed. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word Al-Qani'a wal-Mu'tar. And Al-Qani'a wal-Mu'tar means those people who are content and those who are desperate. Content meaning a person who is asking you for meat and one who is not asking you for meat. You are allowed to feed both of them. And these verses are unqualified and unrestricted. They do not restrict the giving of meat to Muslim or non-Muslim. So the ulama feel that the second group of ulama of the Shafi'i madhab, which would be there would be no harm in following their view, they say that the ulama also make a distinction between those kuffar who are hostile to Islam and those who are not, in the light of the verses mentioned in Surah Al-Mumtahina, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. So, you have been prohibited from, in other words, a distinction made between those Muslims who are hostile to, those non-Muslims who are, those kuffar who are hostile towards Muslims and those who are not. Therefore, the original view of the madhab is that it is not correct to give meat of qurbani to non-Muslims. However, many of the senior ulama of the Shafi'i madhab feel that there is a leeway for permissibility, keeping these ayat and these verses in front, and also making a distinction between those kuffar that are hostile and those that are not. And alhamdulillah, generally we know that the non-Muslims in this country are not hostile towards Muslims, so keeping this in front, it would be permissible to give meat of qurbani to these individuals.
Wonderful, Karisab, jazakumullah for that. We have time for one or two questions very quickly. Karisab, last week, I think it was lesson number 27 that we discussed on Sajdatul Sahwi. Karisab said that to perform the Sajdatul Sahwi in the Shafi'i madhab is a sunnah. The question states, if it is a sunnah and we happen to make a mistake which we have to perform Sajdatul Sahwi and we don't perform it because it is a sunnah, would that mean that the salah is still valid?
Yeah, sujood al-sahwi, we said, is performed if something has been omitted of importance, which is from the main sunnah, which is called ab'ad, or a person forgetfully adds something which is not allowed to add in salah. So if a person has made such a mistake, sujood al-sahwi is sunnah. If sujood al-sahwi is omitted, a person happens to forget sujood al-sahwi and it is not performed, the salah will be valid. However, the salah would be defective because of it either having some extra or having some defect in the omission of a main sunnah which was to be performed in salah. So the salah would be valid, but the performance of sujood al-sahwi is categorized as sunnah, and the salah would not break if it is missed out.
Wonderful, Karisab. I think we take one final question before we terminate. Of course, time is against us. The final question, Karisab, whilst making sajdatul tilawah that we also discussed lesson number 27, does one have to specify for which verse it is?
If one recites sujudul tilawah, the sunnah is that the sujood be performed immediately, as we discussed when it was mentioned in the dars of sujudul tilawah and sujudul sahwi. If a person recites a verse in which the prostration is required, it should be done immediately. However, if one did not perform it and lots of time has elapsed, then there is no qada for the sujudul tilawah. And also the ulama have said, if a person is unable to make the sujudul tilawah at that time, then you can make tasbih of subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, allahu akbar. This would be, if it is recited a few times, it would at least make up for not performing the sujood, which is highly recommended at that time. But the sunnah is to perform the sujood immediately, and when it is performed immediately, then obviously that particular sujood would be specific for the ayah which was recited.
Jazakumullah for the wonderful program. We know we still do have a few questions that are left out. Inshallah, in the coming weeks we would then pose and take those questions. Jazakumullah for the wonderful program, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.